The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you to the second half of the show. It's great to have all of you here. John Talty of Mail.com coming up in a few minutes. More on Gus Malzahn. We talked to Pete Thamel earlier, and a lot of other great guests as well, as we have had a busy program. And let's get back to the calls as well at 855-242-7285. And Bob is up next in Georgia. Bob, thank you, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
Well, I graduated from Auburn in 1949. And I saw the first game in Birmingham between Auburn and Alabama. Auburn got beat 55-0.
Right.
But, you know, the people from Auburn, we were all just hollering War Eagle, and the Alabama people went home. But the next year, we beat them 14-13. And 40 years later, I saw the first game in Auburn that Alabama played at Auburn. And I believe that Auburn won that game, and Auburn won the next four games. They won five games before Alabama ever won a game in Auburn. That just showed how much the home field meant to the teams.
No, Bob, that first game at Auburn in 1989 is one of the most emotional football games I've ever seen, and you were there, of course, so you know what I'm talking about. But the idea of getting that game.
People were running around looking for tickets, and they were paying a lot of money for tickets, too.
They were.
To see that game. And it was a good game. What can I say?
Well, no, that game, by the way, Alabama was undefeated coming into that game.
Well, I don't know what there was, but anyway, they got beat.
Yeah, no, it was a really good game. Bill Curry was the coach at Alabama, and it was quite memorable.
Yeah, my first college game I saw was at Columbus, Georgia, between Auburn and Georgia. And Georgia was number one in the country and had all a bunch of All Americans, and they had beaten Florida like 70-0, and Florida had beaten Auburn, but Auburn beat them that day.
I appreciate you sharing those memories. You be well and take care of yourself. Ed is up next in South Carolina. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how you doing? It's a miserable day here. Hey, before I ask you a question about the football coach's buyouts, do you think it's ironic that a so-called Christian school would hire Hugh Freeze and the rest of them won't touch him? Just a sidelight there, you know.
But yeah. I think one of the tenets of the religion is forgiveness, and
that's true. I don't know. Hey, okay, about the buyouts. Don't all these coaches have in their contracts that if there's malfeasance or NCAA violations or whatever, they don't get their like Gus Malzahn got fired for no scandal type stuff, but Jimmy Pruitt, all's happening there. Did he still get his buyout?
No, if you're fired for cause, then it negates the buyout the clause in your contract that pays you the buyout. Now, it's also an actionable conversation in terms of I think there'll be a battle over this, and ultimately I think Tennessee will have to pay something. But they did not want they fired him based on in their opinion him breaking NCAA rules.
Right, and if it comes out, you know, if NCAA does put a sanction on him, then how is that buyout any good?
Well, it's probably not going to be, but there's a lot more to it. I mean, I know I'm pretty sure Pruitt's attorneys are going to threaten Tennessee, and you know he could be a very dangerous person right now in the sense that. He knows a lot. He could say, "Listen, if you don't pay me $6 million, I'm going to bring the house down, even more than it's already coming down." And Tennessee may say, "You know what? We'd rather you leave quietly than going scorched earth."
But even though he's responsible for it?
I mean, hey, by the way, nobody knows that. That's the opinion of the Tennessee chancellor right now. Yeah. I'm sure Jeremy Pruitt's attorneys are saying, my guy didn't do anything. It was a minor situation, and this person and that person also knew about it.
Yeah. But I thought they all had clause. Like Pitino and Louisville, they didn't give him what
sure.
he was.
Yeah,
before.
I mean,
he got a little bit
every – Yeah, at every single contract, whether it's a contract to be the CEO of the local bank or to be on television or to coach a basketball or football team, has clauses in there that if you violate certain clauses of conduct or moral turpitude, you are going to forfeit the remainder of the contract.
Yeah. So he's still going to get some kind of bout, you think, then, huh?
I think he will, yeah, because I think Tennessee has too much liability.
You think it's right?
There's not about the law that I do think it's right when it comes to contracts, okay?
I agree with that, absolutely.
These contracts are public record. I mean, if you really want to be entertained someday, you know, read these contracts, which often go on for 40 or 50 or 60 pages. And
I probably wouldn't understand them anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance that, you know, very few people who ever sign these contracts read them. That's why you have lawyers.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I guess that's true, yeah.
I mean, you just go to the you go to the page which says how much you make, and then you go to the last page where you sign your name.
And how much you owe me? That's it. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
But it just doesn't seem quite right. It just doesn't seem quite right. But I guess that's today's world, though. You know.
Well, thank you very much for the call. By the way, Bill is up next. Bill, where are you calling from? I see a foreign country on the board.
Right now, sir, I am in Helsinki, Finland.
Oh my goodness.
Well, you might recognize from my accent. I'm not from Finland, obviously. I'm from Alabama, but for right now, I'm posted in Helsinki.
Well, I would imagine. I mean, you would think normally that Helsinki would be one of the coldest places on earth, but it's probably not any colder than it is in Mississippi or Texas right now.
Well, this morning on my way to work, it was -4.
Okay, that's
it's yeah.
I should wait till May or June before I visit. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, you can't find a lovelier place on earth than the summertime in Finland, so I'd highly recommend it.
I look forward to it.
Paul, I apologize if this happened to have come up, but I'm about a week behind because I listen mostly on podcasts because it's quite late here right now.
That's okay.
But the podcast I was just listening to from last week, there was a conversation about boosters and the power that boosters have in so many athletic programs and how Saban was able to break that. I just was curious, has the increased revenue from TV in the past couple of decades, you know, with ESPN pumping so much money into college football, do you think perhaps that's decreased the influence that boosters have over programs?
Yes. And you're absolutely right. As we talked to you, I think it's Friday morning in Helsinki.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, boosters are always important, and universities need. I mean, they care about boosters. They care more about what those boosters can give in terms of huge sums of money for buildings and you know, people bequeathing their wills or their net worth. But television pays so many bills, and you know, just let me reference the SEC network where I work. That has brought a tremendous amount of money into the SEC, which really helps promote so many sports that don't make money. And now there's even a newer deal, this new contract that will replace the CBS contract. It went from about a $55 million a year contract to more than $300 million. So there are just huge sums of money, and they pay, you know, they also, you know, they help support a lot of things. But, boosters are always going to be critical to the university in general, but they're not nearly as critical to the athletic department.
Mm. Well, that's interesting, and I thought perhaps that was just a silver lining. You know, all the money that's thrown around, a lot of people are quite negative about it, but at least perhaps it's decreased the influence that small groups of people have. At least it's
I think it does
spread that out a little bit.
I think it depends on the school. You know, Alabama, for example, Saban made it very clear early on that he was going to run the show. At other schools, it's not as easy to pull off. Well, let me say this to you. Thank you for calling from Helsinki, and I am calling you first when I come visit in a couple of months. Thanks for the call. We have to go to a break. John Talty will join us in a few minutes from AL.com, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here on a Thursday afternoon, and always particularly exciting to have John Talty on, one of my favorite guests. He is the senior sports editor of AL.com. John, thanks for the time. Great to have you with us again, and it's been Gus Malzahn 24/7 here. I imagine it hasn't been too much different other than the weather back in Alabama.
No, absolutely, Paul, and I think people thought he would have a shot at some different jobs, but I think it happened maybe even faster than people expected. And so there's been a lot of attention around it. I think we've seen a lot in the last couple of days, too, of just people he's hiring. Travis Williams, I saw Brandon Marcel reporting earlier about Herb Hand going there. So you're getting a lot of other stories happening at a time that there's otherwise, outside of basketball, not that much going on when it comes to football in Alabama.
Yeah, and I saw you said something the other day, which I really had to I started nodding my head when you said that in some ways it looks like maybe UCF got the better end of the Josh Heupel deal. Explain.
Yeah, I think they did, and that's I'm not trying to just knock Josh Heupel every time I go on your show, Paul, but I think that Gus has accomplished more than Josh at this point, and I think that he's someone who I think fits well into UCF. I think he's someone who, again, maybe didn't meet the expectations that fans had for him, but no one's beaten Nick Saban more in terms of current coaches right now in college football. Came extremely close to winning a national championship, has won the SEC. And as someone, again, who's a proven coach, there were some issues at the end, which maybe we'll get into in a second here, but someone who is accomplished and, I think seems, at least in his opening press conference, rejuvenated and maybe will be different than what we saw at the end, in which clearly some of the behind the scenes things were starting to weigh Gus down, and he maybe wasn't the guy that people saw early on in his time at Auburn. But I think Gus is a really strong hire for Central Florida, and I think someone that makes a lot of sense for them. And I think that if Tennessee had hired Gus Malzahn, I would say I think they made a good hire too. And I think there's some obvious challenges with the hire that they made that I think we've previously discussed.
Yeah, I want to go over that again, John, because when he was here yesterday, I mean, he looked, sounded rejuvenated, and his record at Auburn wasn't that bad, but there were just so many things going against him, and it just seemed like, as you reported right after the Harsin hire, it seemed like it was some of the biggest boosters that were working against him more than anything.
Yeah, I think it's something that I think for a long time, Gus wasn't particularly comfortable in Auburn. I think that they knew, Gus and his wife, Christy, knew that they weren't exactly the most popular people. I think they knew that, some of the big boosters weren't the biggest fans of them. And so even when they're winning, I feel like there's always that feeling that, you know, like, what's around the other corner? And I think that's something that, for even after they got that, you know, even after Gus got that big extension, and maybe he felt a little more comfortable for a year, it didn't take long for rumors to crank up of, you know, attempts to get him fired. And so I just think for a long time, Gus was not able to be particularly comfortable as Auburn's head coach. I think it led to him doubling down on some of the paranoia. I think it led to him doubling down on not trusting many people. And I think the hope is that in a new setting with a new boss and a new fan base and a new set of boosters, that maybe Gus will be able to be more comfortable and really just focus on what he does best and not maybe worrying about some of the things that are happening, you know, outside of his control and outside of the football building.
A new coach has arrived at Auburn, John, but do the problems that haunted Gus Malzahn remain?
I think it's going to be interesting to see how Brian Harsin handles the outside pressure. And, you know, as I reported, and I know as we've talked on your show in the past, you know, he wasn't the preferred choice of certain powerful, influential boosters. You know, there was a heavy push to hire Kevin Steele. That didn't happen. Alan Green hires Brian Harsin instead. And, you know, I think the hope was that everybody would rally around Brian Harsin. And I think in the early stages, you know, people were happy with him and all the fun stuff. He hasn't lost the game yet. But I don't think the people that didn't want him have suddenly forgotten that they didn't want him. And so there will be a pressure on him to deliver early results, you know, especially just, you know, they fired Gus, they're paying him a lot of money to go away. He walks into a situation at UCF where he should have early success. And there will be, you know, natural comparisons about, you know, Gus would have won that game, or look at what Gus is doing at Central Florida. And I think there will be pressure on Harsin to deliver early. And so, you know, if we're projecting out 2 years from now, if he hasn't had that much success, I think you might see some of those boosters who didn't want him in the first place raising concerns about whether he's the right fit.
It's early, of course, and, you know, disregarding his geographical comment today about that team up north, how is Brian Harsin playing with the people that matter down there and the fans?
I think that there's been some strong acceptance to this point. I think, you know, in some ways with the fan base, you know, if we're talking about the average fan, I think there was a desire to move on from Gus. I think it's, again, not that he wasn't successful, but I feel like the average fan felt like, you know, there was a ceiling there. It was all the same old issues. The offensive, you know, the offense looked like it stalled. And so they were ready for something new. And so the beauty of this period of time right now, Paul, is that he hasn't lost any games. Everything sounds great. He's talking, you know, he handles himself a bit differently than Gus. That's refreshing to some fans. And so, you know, you're kind of in the peak honeymoon stage right now. I think, you know, and when we get to the season and, you know, if they lose a game or two that fans think they shouldn't, I mean, you know as well as anybody that they'll start to turn on him. So I think right now is a peak period of, you know, everybody's happy. Fans seem excited by him. I think they like some of the staffing moves that he made, particularly I think Derek Mason was a strong one. And so I think everybody's in good spirits right now. And so we'll see how long, you know, that continues to last as, you know, once the season actually cranks up.
Chatting with John Talty. John, I know we have concentrated so often here about guests, but, you know, we are moving past the football season. I realize basketball is reaching its peak, but there's always chatter about, you know, what's going to happen from an SEC standpoint, especially, and I want to, you know, see if this is percolating anywhere about changing the current, a couple of things. Number one, do they remain at 8 games, which, you know, everybody got a taste of 10 this year. And secondly, I know, and there's been some conversation about doing away with the divisions. What are you hearing, and do you think this is going to come up in the at least intermediate future?
Yeah, I don't. Again, you know, I'm not trying to have famous last words here and say it's not going to happen, and it happens in a couple months. But I don't think it's necessarily something that's going to happen in the very near future. And I think one of the challenges with it is that if you bump it up to, you know, this year was unique. I think everybody was just trying to get a season in and was willing to just kind of go with anything. You saw, you know, bowl season was completely different. The requirements were gone. You saw teams opting out of bowls. It was just a whole different scenario. But if we imagine that the next year or two is going to be more normal in terms of bowls and things like that, one of the challenges I think to getting a majority and getting everybody on board is that by moving to 10 SEC games, it makes it a lot harder for some of those SEC schools that, you know, sneak in with six wins to a bowl to get bowl eligibility. You know, I think we know for a fact that Nick Saban is on board with doing more. I think some of the other high-level power programs would be okay with it because they feel like they're going to win the majority of their games anyway, and it'll help their case for the playoff if they have, you know, more SEC wins. It's harder for schools maybe like a Vanderbilt, a South Carolina, that, you know, getting to a bowl is a level of success. If you take away what could be two easy non-conference wins from them, well, that makes it that much harder for them to get into a bowl. And so I think that's been one of the challenges to this point. Now, if we see a playoff expansion and strength of schedule becomes that much more important, then maybe there's will be a push to moving to 9-10 games because there's eight teams in the playoff and everybody needs to do everything they can to try to do that. But I think as of right now, there's some hurdles to overcome in that regard just because of the way that the system's currently set up.
One other thing that you have reported a lot about from the beginning of the conversation through its conclusion is the agreement between ESPN and the SEC to replace the 3:30, 2:30 Central window. There was some talk that maybe that could be shortened, moving it over to ESPN sooner. Anything on that going on that you hear?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that people thought, I mean, I think when that deal initially went down, the expectation, I think from a decent amount of people in the industry was that the deal for CBS would end shorter than it's currently set up. Then the pandemic happened, and that kind of pushed that off the kind of table. I think what we know at this point is that ESPN is interested in possibly getting it earlier. Why wouldn't you be interested in getting the entire SEC package if you can get it early? The question is just, you know, A, the SEC, are they okay with it? And, you know, I don't want to speak for the SEC, but I think they'd at least be open to that. And then the final party is CBS. And so I think the angle that people thought, if this ends up happening, one of the reasons why it would is that, you know, CBS, like other, you know, platforms, including your employer, you know, are in the mix of these big NFL negotiations that are going to cost a lot of money. And so if there was a scenario in which maybe they could free up some extra money by not having to pay, you know, CBS, pay the SEC, and also maybe getting extra money on top of it from ESPN, you know, maybe that would allow them to do what they want to do NFL-wise and makes it beneficial to them all the way around. So I think you have, you know, you need three partners to do it. And I think we know that at least one would do it. I think the second one probably would. I think the question is just about whether CBS finds it worth their while to give up on something that is an incredible deal to this point. Because don't forget, they're only paying $55 million a year, which, again, a lot of money, but not in the TV landscape. And they're getting all the top SEC games plus the SEC championship, which, as we know, is worth a lot more than that.
Always fascinating conversation. John Talty with AL.com. John, come back very soon. We always enjoy it very, very much.
Thanks so much, Paul. Appreciate you.
You got it. John Talty joining us. We'll take a break. This the judgment expert in the final hour, Ken Smithmeyer. More of your phone calls continue right here at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. There's some news out of Tuscaloosa involving Nate Oates. The university has just announced that they have extended his contract through March of 2027. His base salary will increase to $3.225 million annually, and a significant raise and contract extension for one of the hottest coaches in the country, Nate Oates from Alabama. Let's get back to the calls. And Ansley is up next. Good afternoon. Ansley, you're there?
I am here. I just didn't hear you. I was listening.
That's okay. I'm glad you're here.
I just wanted to comment on John from Tuscaloosa.
Oh, yeah. Wow,
I've
what a call.
I've been watching this program a long time and listening to it even longer. That was one of the most poignant calls that I have ever heard. It just cut me to the quick. Thinking about those guys raising that flag and after 3 days and then 30 days later, the battle's over. What a 30 days.
Yeah, no, I for those who missed it, his dad had been at Iwo Jima, and I will tell you, I felt the same way that you did. It was very difficult to not completely lose it. It was one of the, it was just told so poignantly, and there was such realism, and you could, and I mean, you and I, you know a little bit more about Iwo Jima than maybe the younger people in the audience, but it's worth reading about. It's a And listening to somebody who heard about it from their own father was extraordinary.
Absolutely. I know one thing, that as soon as I get off this call, I'm going to look up, see how many people died at Iwo Jima. And I know it was in the thousands. So
yeah, it was a bloody battle. And it was, you know, I remember as a kid, there was a park where not far from where I grew up, where that statue was there. And
right.
You know, you don't really understand things when you're that age, even though your dad wasn't all that far away. But those are the things that you just really kick yourself. But it was one of the bloodier moments of the war, and it opened the door to what would come a few weeks later.
Yes, that's for sure. And I know your dad was in the war. My dad was in the war. And all those folks that didn't come home. That's just a big reminder of that. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank
Paul,
you for saying that. I really appreciate your call, and I hope people can, maybe it will be on the podcast later, but what he was really saying was it was on February 19th, 1945. That was the point of reference that he was making, the 76th anniversary. And you know, probably most of you have seen the picture of the Marines hoisting the flag at Iwo Jima. I didn't realize until today. I always thought that was at the end of it. I didn't realize that was at the beginning of it. But it was a critical place in terms of strategic island to help the American forces in their assault. And there was essentially six U.S. Marines planted the flag there, and it's a picture that I dare say, it you know, of all the pictures in American history, it is one of the most famous. And Iwo Jima is an island that is really, you know, I'd say somewhere between the Philippines and Japan. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Cotton is up next. Hey, Cotton, thanks for the call. Hey, Cotton, good afternoon. For some reason, Cotton did not hear me. Let me try John in Huntsville, Alabama. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call, man.
Thank you.
First of all, yeah, thanks for your program and everybody that produces it and makes it happen. Man, y'all are really a blessing, especially through all this COVID.
Thank you so much.
And, man, I'm thoughts to all the people that are without power and going through the cold. Mm. Wish them relief. Wish them a warm spell. But anyway, my question is, I recall right after the Super Bowl on your crawl, Patrick Mahomes is going in for turf toe surgery. My question is, what is turf toe?
I'll give it a shot. I believe it is somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's a sprain in the big toe. So you just don't. I mean, if not that I advise this if you're in a car, but if you're home, you know. I mean, most people with decent agility can move their big toe. I think with a sprain, you can't. It is. I think it just sits there dormant.
Okay.
Yeah, because it is sprained, and I've spoken to players. If I've had it, it only came because I kicked something in frustration.
Something other than a jammed toe, because that's swollen and you can't move it at all.
I think it's probably similar. I mean, it's. I knew somebody once that dropped a big machine on his big toe, and I can tell you, I'm not sure I've ever. He told me that I'm not sure you could be shot and scream louder than that. That is my with no medical degree in sight. That's my best guess.
Okay, buddy. Well, that's as close as I can come. I appreciate your help.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. By the way, back to the gentleman that called, and I don't want to give his name away, but a friend just sent me what I'm pretty sure who he is. He played football at Alabama too. That was the introduction to the story that was so extraordinary. And he played at Alabama, and so many other people did as well. I mean, we're not talking about a war that a scattering of people enlisted. After Pearl Harbor, if you were a man of age and in average to good health, you enlisted in the armed services. There's never been anything quite like that. But he went to and served in Iwo Jima, and then he came back and played a couple more years at Alabama. We will continue here. We'd love to hear from you at 855-242-7285. Let me check in with Bobby in Florida, who's up next. Hey, Bobby.
Paul, how are you, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you so much for the call.
Originally, I wanted to talk about Tennessee's coaching staff, the staff that Heupel put together. Originally, I wasn't that impressed, but at that point, where were we really going to go? You and I have talked before about the state of the Tennessee program. It's not great. But then when I was on hold, I heard your comment on the extension of Nate Oates at Alabama, and he's running through the SEC, and he was a Danny White hire from Buffalo, right?
Exactly.
So once I'm not 100% sure about this, but did Nate Oates go from Buffalo to Alabama, or did he have a stop along the way?
I believe he came from Buffalo.
Okay, so Danny White has an eye for talent, and this is pure speculation, but how long do you think it would have been before a major school would have tried to hire Heupel away from UCF if they'd have kept doing what him and Danny White were doing down there?
Well, I think next year was going to be critical. I say that because the first year, he inherited McKenzie Milton. He inherited that perfect record, and he went to the final game of the year before he lost to LSU. And then it trailed off a little bit, and then this past season was pretty weak. But I think it's difficult to judge any coach on this past season because of COVID. So I think it was to be determined. But if he had had a big year next year, then I think he would have been right back in play as a hot young coach.
Okay, back to my original thought. I wasn't overwhelmed by the hire of Heupel. It seems like we're settling for our fourth or fifth date to the dance, but the staff that he's putting together, I don't know the quarterback's coach name off the top of my head, but his press conference yesterday really blew me away. And, you know, with the hire of Willie Martinez to coach the defensive backs, it seems like he's putting a pretty low-key, very reputable staff together.
I think he is, and you know, let's not forget something here. You know, as bad as things are, and it's been a disaster at Tennessee, it's still a great school. And
oh, yes, sir. We
it has tremendous
that.
Potential. Yeah, so I think you can attract, and you know, with a competent athletic director, which they certainly have now, you know, they're doing things correctly, and you know, all the bumps the first day or two, those things go out the window. They don't matter much once you get established. And I've seen coaches blow the press conference. I've seen disasters on day one, and 2-3 weeks later, the fans have coalesced around that individual. That is the nature of fandom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to, you know, tip your hat to Heupel for wishing General Nealon a happy birthday yesterday.
That was pretty smart.
You know, if you want to win the fan base over, you know, wish the general.
Now, if you're a Tennessee fan, there are two go-tos: General Nealon and Peyton Manning. Hey, thank you for the call. Really do appreciate it. We have to hit a break here. More of your phone calls. We have some lines open for you at 855-242-7285. The Judgment Meister in the final hour. We're looking forward to talking to him. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back late in the program on a Thursday afternoon. Let's check in with Terry in Richmond, Virginia. Terry, thank you and good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Terry, we are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I'm from, coming from Richmond, Virginia, but I was really from Fairhope, Alabama, part of the tribal member of the Porch Band Creek Indians down there.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
Earlier in the show, you mentioned that Urban Meyer was successful and, at Florida and Ohio State because he controlled every aspect of the game. So, I mean, wouldn't that kind of imply that he would know about any kind of assistant coaches issues, maybe the spousal abuse type issues? Shouldn't he be, have some weight upon him about those things?
My answer would be yes.
I appreciate the honesty, Paul.
Yeah, and that's what really bugged me about what happened last week. We spent an entire summer talking about Urban Meyer and Zach Smith, which, the one thing about that, as abhorrent as it was, I did understand his blind spot. Zach Smith was connected to one of Urban's mentors, and I think he tried to help him and enable him, which was a mistake, but he did it. This case is totally different. Doyle, was run out of the business, and I'm not opposed to a second chance, but considering where we are as a country and where athletes are, to bring a guy who just got fired because of racial insensitivity and using racial pejoratives and put him inside an NFL locker room? I mean, I don't know how you can think about that.
Right. It seems like he puts himself above anyone else.
Well, he does. I think if you called a psychiatrist, he could probably come up with a word for that.
I appreciate it, Paul. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, and appreciate your call. Ken Smithmeyer will join us in a couple of minutes, and we are really looking forward to, if you've never heard Ken, he is a former CEO of a hospital who is now does a lot of consulting on the side. He literally goes to NFL and college sites and advises coaches, test players, and he's one of the best judgment experts in the country, and he will be with us to review, including Urban Meyer, some of the other hires of this offseason. And your phone calls, if you want to get in now, we'll get you on quickly at 855-242-7285.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.